Psalm 127. Read a little bit here, just a few verses out of Psalm. A familiar passage, familiar verse we're going to park on for a moment here. It's a great psalm. Notice verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Amen. That'll preach right there. We can do all we can do in our human effort, except the Lord build the house. We won't labor in vain.
Amen.
Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, I'm in verse 2, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Verse 3, here we are. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. But they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. We're looking at verse 3 primarily tonight as our springboard for this sermon. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Let's pray together. Father, please bless the message. I come before thee this evening, Lord, recognizing my great need for thee. Lord, I ask for a fresh filling of thy spirit. I pray that you'd use me for your glory this evening. And speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, as we consider this thought of the vanishing ministry, to look at it, Lord, and ask, what happened? What is happening to our hearts? Please help us now. May your word go forth, Lord, with free course this evening. Please remove any distractions from our minds and from this room tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, the director of a prominent, nationally known Christian ministry had interviewed 20 teenagers each week throughout the entire summer at their teen camps. This big ministry that literally had camps all over the nation, well, several of them. The director of this nationally known ministry decided to do that, and he asked the 20 teenagers per week, which, by the way, adds up to about 250 of them throughout the summer. He asked them this question, mind you, Christian camp. He said, if you could be anything you wanted to be, what would you be? In other words, if it was your choice, what would it be? Well, their responses were interesting. They ranged from architects to veterinarians to sports stars to millionaires. Christian camp. The director was quoted saying this after the summer. He said, quote, out of the entire summer, only one said that he wanted to be a youth pastor. One. None said that they wanted to be a pastor. And three said, I want to be a missionary. Do the math. Four out of about 250 throughout the summer that said, if I could choose anything, boy, I'd love to serve the Lord full time in this type of capacity. Sad, is it not? He also asked how many of them came from homes where both their parents were saved. The figure was an astounding 81%. He went on to say this. This tells me that very few Christian parents are holding up service to the Lord as an option. In my opinion, kids are not being challenged to serve the Lord in a full-time capacity. And that's true. Now, for some time now, we've been dealing with the subject of the vanishing ministry. The idea is while the population grows, while the world gets bigger, while the need is greater, while there's more lost people, we are seeing less and less full-time Christian servants. Less. The number we're watching is continuing to diminish. Yet the need is so great.
Amen.
You know, out of the 7.3 billion people in the world, 3 billion of them live among unreached people, nearly half. 1.6 billion are completely unevangelized. Out of the 7.3 billion in the world, 1.6, is that what I said? 1.6 billion have never even heard the gospel. Unevangelized, no opportunity. And I ask, where are God's servants?
Amen.
Where are they? Why are we shunning that? Why are we looking at it and saying, I'm speaking as a whole now, not me, send someone else. Here I am, Lord, send him. You know, even in our churches, generally speaking, there are less and less people, particularly young people, that are involved in faithfully serving the Lord. It's true. I think our church is, to a degree, an exception. I think we could say we do better than others. But are we doing as we could? I think we could do better. I think we could do better. Dr. Charles King once said several years ago, and I understand what he meant by this, he said, quote, recruitment is the single biggest problem in the work of God. Recruitment, getting people to serve, getting people to do something for God is the biggest problem, he said. But he went on to say this, but a solvable one.
Amen.
It can be solved, that problem.
Right.
So tonight I'd like to ask ourselves, how do we change this? Is there some sort of road back? Where do we go from here? How do we get back to where God wants us to be? Well, over the next couple of weeks, I'd like to suggest several biblical solutions. We've been talking about the problem for long enough and the whys behind it. Now let's talk about the solution. How do we as a church, how do we as independent Baptists get back to where God wants us to be? Well, may I say, several things must change. They must. If we're going to see a different attitude about serving the Lord in our young people and in people in general, things must change. And tonight's solution, as you know where we're going, you see the sheet, you see the text, it begins in the home.
Amen.
In the home. The very first change we need to see, and I'm convinced of this, is in our homes. We could have a 100 junior churches with Brother Reese up there teaching them all these verses. We could have all kinds of ministries in the church, but if the home is not what it ought to be, we'll never be what we could be. We must go back to the home. And I want to ask us this question. Are we as parents training our children to serve the Lord? Are we? Are you parent? We can talk about grandparents tonight because we have an influence as well. A little bit different. But the truth is we should have an influence on them to serve the Lord as well. But are parents truly training our children to serve God? And so tonight I want to preach on this subject. You see the title tonight, Raising a Servant of God.
Amen.
How do we raise a servant of God? Is there a way? There is.
Amen.
There is a way. Do you know that there is one primary reason that God has given children to parents? One primary reason. Here's what it is. To produce servants of God.
Amen.
I want you to let that sink in for a moment. One of the primary reasons that you have been given children is to produce not just good citizens of America, not just nice people, not just hardworking people. We've been given children, why? To produce servants of God.
Amen.
And anything less of that is a failure.
That's right.
Is a failure. Malachi 2:15, and did he not make one, and wherefore one? Speaking of marriage, why did God make marriage? That he might seek a godly seed. So that those parents could produce a child that grows up to serve God. Train them to serve the Lord.
Amen.
I remember when I was working through Bible college, one of the jobs I had taken was to drive a forklift. Actually, they're trying to teach me to drive a forklift. I did drive a forklift. I was packing boxes for some time, and They said, hey, we want to train you on this forklift. So I had some guy come and he trained me. He started to train me on the forklift. And they said to him, your job is to show him how to drive this thing. Not if you ever driven a forklift, one of those Crown electric ones. How many ever drove one of those? Okay. You know, it's a little tricky, is it not? I mean, you get on it a little sideways. And if you want to go that way, you actually turn this way. It's really odd. You know, you think you're going this way, so naturally you turn the wheel this way, but you got to do it the other way. It takes, you know, you got to think. And then in a panic kind of situation, you just do what's natural, you know, when something's coming, you got to turn real quick. You think, I got to go that way. And so you go that way, you end up going the other way and making matters worse. And I had seen many before me bang into all kinds of places, all kinds of shelving and everything else in this warehouse. I worked in a warehouse. Well, thank the Lord, he trained me, and I did okay. But my point is this, what if the boss came back, and that man who was supposed to train me said this, well, I decided to show him something else. I decided to show him to do, and he did not do his job. Do you think the boss would be happy? Well, then why on earth do we think God would be happy when he's given us children to train them to produce servants of God, and they grow up, and they don't serve the Lord? Now, I'm not talking about the will of the child. I understand that. You can do everything right and still your child doesn't serve the Lord. I understand that, and it happens quite often. But I'm talking about doing our part. And many times the reason is because parents don't see that that's the goal. Let me read a few more verses for you. Ephesians chapter 6, now that I got you all happy tonight. And verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what we're to do. God's commentary on Abraham in Genesis 18:19. God said this of him, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. God was pleased with him. He didn't say, I know Abraham, boy, he's going to make a lot of money. Good man, Abraham. Man, he's going to be rich. Although he was rich, that's not what impressed him. What impressed him was the fact that he trained his children for God. Joshua's greatest statement about his family, Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve.
Amen.
Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Would to God we had some Christian fathers that would stand up and make that statement and it'd be true in their hearts.
Amen.
For me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
You see, raising our children to serve God is not an option.
Right.
It's a command.
Amen. Right,
think about that. But in order for us to raise our children, we have to understand some things. And I want to give them to you tonight. I want to help us tonight. We have some wonderful young families in our church.
Amen.
And we need to have the right mindset as we're seeing these kids be raised up. And you as a parent, as you raise them up for the Lord, we have to have a biblical mindset. Notice, first of all, we must understand the proper view of parenting. That's number one. The proper view of parenting. Look at Psalm 127 and verse 3. We read, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord.
Amen.
It is abundantly clear what our attitude toward our children ought to be. That children are an heritage of the Lord. In other words, your children, all of them, not just some of them, every one of them are on loan to us from the bank of heaven.
Amen.
Your children are on loan to you from the bank of heaven. They are not yours in reality. They are God's. And you know, this should be every Christian parent's view of parenting. We ought to see it that way, that they're not my children in reality. They are God's. And that means that parenting is a stewardship. You want to write that word down.
Amen.
Parenting is a stewardship. You say, what's a steward? You know what it is. We've dealt with this before. It is someone who has been entrusted with something that belongs to somebody else. Someone who is given something and they're given instructions, here, take care of this, here's what I want you to do with it. It's not yours, it's mine, but you are a steward of it, you're responsible for it, and I will hold you accountable for it as well.
Amen.
You see, as stewards, we are not only responsible for our children, but we also are accountable to God for them.
Amen.
And what we do with them. There's a wonderful lesson on stewardship. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, go over there in verse 14. Here in Matthew 25, the Lord Jesus is giving what we refer to as the Olivet Discourse. And he gives a parable here, beginning in verse 14. I won't read the whole thing for time's sake. The kingdom of heaven in verse 14 is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 15. And to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. You know the story, as a man who calls his servants and delivers them his goods. Notice it's not their goods, it's his. He delivers it to them. He gives 1 5 talents, he gives another 2 talents, and he gives a 3rd 1 talent. The man goes away as he entrusts them with those talents, and he comes back at a later time. We'll talk about that in a moment. But we find that the one that he had given 5 talents to had gained 5 more. He did what he was supposed to do with it.
Amen.
And we read that the Lord said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Same thing happened to the one with 2. He gained 2. Notice different talents, but both of them gained.
Amen.
Then there's that one that the Bible says hid his Lord's money. In other words, he knew what he was supposed to do. He knew it wasn't his, yet he did not do it. So what did he do? He hid it. He didn't do what his master wanted. And we read in verse 24, "Then he which had received the 1 came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sowed and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Here it is, back to you.' His Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that shall have abundance shall have abundance." I'm sorry, "and he shall have abundance." I won't read the rest of it. I think you understand.
Amen.
He didn't do what he was supposed to do. Why is that? Well, you know, one of the most difficult things for a steward to remember is this, is that those talents actually don't belong to him.
Amen.
Perhaps he forgot it. Perhaps he had it so long he felt like it was his own, but it was not. And it's the same with parents. Sometimes we forget that. We forget these children are not mine. We invest so much time in them and treasure in them and energy in them and effort in them. And we sink our heart into their lives. We arrange so much of our lives around them that it's so easy to forget that those children are not really ours.
Amen.
They're God's.
Right.
They may have daddy's eyes. They may have mama's hair color. But don't ever forget, they bear God's image.
Amen.
They're His.
Amen.
You see, yes, you have been charged with the entrusted with their care. Yes, you have been entrusted with their maturity and development. But they're owned by God.
Amen.
To do with them as He pleases.
Amen.
Because we're stewards. Can I ask you tonight, parent, do you have the proper view of parenting? Some parents have children and they like to live their lives, the life that they did not get to live through their children. That's not for you to decide. They're not ours to be arbitrarily doing whatever we want. We are to do what God wants, and He wants us to raise servants for Him. But you'll never do that if you don't realize that they're God's
right,
and not yours. So we see, notice, number one, the proper view of parenting. Number two, there's another thing I want us to think about. If we're going to get this thing right, raising a servant of God, we have to have that proper view. But then also, number two, the part that is often neglected. What is neglected? Well, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 for a moment here. 1 Thessalonians 5. I was not going to go there, but I will tonight. You know, human beings have been made in the image of God.
Amen.
Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And I believe that part of that image, part of that phrase, because there's so much can be said about the image of God, what that means. But I think at least part of it means that mankind, like God, is a trichotomy. In other words, we are a three-part being. As we know, God is one God, but God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God, three parts, if you will, co-equal and coexistent, that man is a three-part being as well. Our parts, we know, are our bodies, our exterior with the five senses, then our soul and our spirit. And we find that clearly stated here in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Notice we read, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body. Notice there's a distinction between the three. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Now we understand as parents are stewards. They're stewards of their children. That means that as parents, you are stewards of all three parts of the child. You're a steward of their physical well-being. You're a steward of their mental well-being. And you're a steward of their spiritual well-being. Notice it's interesting. The verse says that those parts should be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's talk about them for a moment. You have them all three, but I said them quickly. But notice letter A, write it down. Parents are stewards of the physical part of their children. Now, this needs to be said more than ever today. It used to be, we would say, a natural thing, but it seems like we're living in a world where there's not without natural affection anymore. Parents, it seems, used to, more so than today anyway, typically want to take care of their children physically. In other words, make sure that they're fed. Make sure that you feed them nutritional food and don't feed them junk. Amen. You don't sit them down for ice cream every single meal and say, hey, what would you like to eat tonight? You'd have ice cream and cookies every meal. You don't do that as a parent. Why? Because you're a steward of the physical side of them.
Amen.
You're to clothe them. You are to provide for them. You are to make sure they are clean. Amen. You know, at first, parents take care of the baby's hygiene, you know, wiping their noses and other things, if you will, putting on clean clothes, combing their hair, and so forth. But then you are to teach them to have proper hygiene on their own.
Amen.
You should not let them leave the house without a shower, without brushing their teeth, especially when they come to the school. Amen. And dirty clothes, disheveled hair, and all of that. That's part of your stewardship. Amen? You're to take them to the doctor, take them to the dentist, take them to the optometrist when needed. Why? Because you're a steward of that.
Amen.
You're a steward of it. We're to keep them safe. We're to protect them. That's part of what we're to do. We're to keep them healthy, protect them from harm. Again, we as parents, you are a steward of their physical well-being.
Amen.
But that's not all. You're also a steward of their mental well-being. The mental part of your child. You say, what do you mean by that? Parents are responsible for the development of their children's mental well-being. Their minds develop it. You say, I thought the Christian school was that. No, the Bible says the parent is to do that.
Right.
Now, you use the Christian school and you delegate some of that authority to them. Nothing wrong with that. But the ultimate responsibility of that decision lies in the hands of the parent. You're a steward of their mental well-being, educating them. Why? So they can live in this world.
Amen.
Watching what you allow in their minds. Being careful of all of that. The stewardship. But then there's a third one. And that is the spiritual side.
Amen.
You see, parents are stewards, yes, of the physical part of their children and the mental part of their children, but also the spiritual part of their children. And may I say, this is a part that's often neglected. If we are going to raise the children to become servants of God, again, I'm not talking about every one of them going into full-time ministry. I hope you understand that. I'm talking about their lives being about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what it's about for all of us that are saved?
Amen.
And if we're going to do that, we must not neglect the spiritual side of the child. I'm amazed when I see some of the things the world does with their children. The energy and the effort that they put in them to teach them things like sports. I mean, it's almost over the top at times, the way they try to get them to hit the ball and shoot the basket and the driver of the parents behind that. The arguments at the Little League fields and all that. Come on, keep your eye on the ball. We went over this. I mean, in the backyard. Come on, get them down. Picking up grounders and all of that. All the time that's invested. Oh, we'll teach them how to fish. We'll teach them how to hunt. We'll teach them how to do all kinds of things like that. About tools. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that necessarily. We'll have fun with them. We'll ride bikes with them. And again, that's wonderful. But that's not the spiritual side. What about the stewards of them spiritually?
Amen.
Wow. You see, the stewardship of them, their spiritual training includes, and we're not at your list yet, but you might want to write some of these things down. Yes, making sure they are in church.
Amen.
Can I say that again?
Amen.
Making sure they're in church. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, King's Kids, teen class if it applies, special meetings, vacation Bible school, camps, enrolled into Christian school, all of that. You say, preacher, that seems a little overboard. Really? Perhaps something's wrong with your thinking. Because what are we raising? What are we trying to raise? Spiritual kids. We're trying to raise kids that are going to serve God.
Amen.
And so, yes, they should be in church. And by the way, you parent ought to lead the way.
Amen.
You ought to lead it. But it doesn't just include that. It includes some things that must be done in the home. It's not enough to just be in the church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, in the Christian school, at VBS, and the teen camps and youth camps and all of that. Hey, that's part of it, but it must be in the home as well.
Amen.
Notice two things that must be done in the home. Number one is this, be faithful to teaching them the Word of God in the home.
Amen.
You say, preacher. Preacher, you say that all the time.
Amen.
Preacher, really? I thought we were going to have some epiphany tonight. We're going to see some apparition come down and tell us some magic potion on raising our kids and turning them into a servant of God. No, it's actually quite simple. You say that all the time. Why do you keep saying that? Because most of us don't do it. I'm just saying. It's true. And we have to face that.
Amen.
Look, go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're close there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Well, let's do 2 Timothy 3 first, then we'll go back. You see, when I'm talking about training and teaching, this is what I'm talking. I mean, I don't know what else we can do. I don't know what. Look up here real quick. I don't know what else we can do.
Amen.
We're trying to equip you with everything possible. Listen, if you say I don't have the $8, I'll buy you one. I will. If it means you'll do it, I'll buy you one.
Amen.
Because that's how important I know this is. I'm talking about daily devotions with your children. I'm talking about getting together as a family and opening up the Word of God on a daily basis. It doesn't have to be an hour sermon. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about time where you stop and you sit down and you open up the Bible and you open up a devotion book or just read the Bible and spend time reading it together and praying with one another. You say, it sounds so easy. It does, but so many don't do it.
Right.
And I'm saying this not to be mean. I'm not. I'm just saying this because we ought to care about this generation that's coming up. That's the future church.
Amen.
And we look out here, we say, oh, these churches are going contemporary and this and that. Why does that happen? Because somewhere along the line, somebody wasn't rooted in the Word of God.
Amen.
Some generation came out and said, well, everybody else is doing it. Well, if they knew what the Bible said about all these things, that would not happen.
That's right. Amen.
2 Timothy 3:15. Notice Timothy here. Now, that this is Paul to Timothy. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I think all of us understand, if you know the life of Timothy, he grew up to be a servant of God.
Amen.
He did. As a matter of fact, if you follow his life into the Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll find he gave his life for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
I won't tell you the story for time's sake, but look it up. He did. He was a servant of the Lord. How did that happen? Right there. From a child. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. It happened because of his mother.
Amen.
Now it seems from the Scripture his father wasn't saved. It seemed like he grew up in a broken home. One saved, one father lost, mom saved, and so forth. But go back, if you will, to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Notice, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Notice, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also.
Amen.
Somebody taught him the Bible.
Amen.
Paul did teach him the Bible, but Paul didn't meet him until much later in his life. I believe Paul led him to the Lord perhaps, but there was something there that he was taught the Scriptures.
Amen.
It happened in the home. So I ask you, is it happening in your home? You say, well, I just have a little baby, that's all. Why don't you sit down and make it a habit of putting that child to bed and singing that child a song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, whatever it may be, and perhaps even reading one Bible verse and having prayer with that child right there. Get into the habit now.
Amen.
Well, he doesn't even understand. God does.
Amen.
And I think you'd be surprised what they hear and what's going to become familiar with them.
Amen.
So we see, be faithful to teaching Word of God in the home. The number two is this, be involved in serving the Lord together.
Amen.
Go back to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. Perhaps a classic passage on training our children. Be involved in serving the Lord together. Notice verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou, notice thou, he's speaking to the parents here in verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy might.
Amen.
And these words which I command thee this day, notice, shall be in thine heart,
amen,
and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. In other words, it has to first happen in you.
Amen.
If it's going to make an impact on them. You see, don't send them soul winning. Go soul winning with them.
Amen.
Take them. You go. You go with them. Hey, there's things you can do as a flyer for VBS. I could have done that. We had flyering today, although it was a little bit rainy, but there's opportunities where families can do things.
Amen.
Bring those kids out to when we go up to Wilmington or over to Easton and knock on doors or to put something on the door. Get involved in a ministry where you can serve together. We were involved with, I think that's one of the greatest, and I think we just did it out of ignorance. We didn't really even think the thing through. We just thought, let's just go ahead and all do it together. Amen. We got involved with the bus ministry.
Amen.
My son was riding the bus at 2 years old, you know. I mean, 2-3 years old, he's on the bus, and he you know, sitting there. Well, he didn't understand. No, but what it was, it became a part of their life.
Amen.
You see, we influence our kids that way.
Amen.
You show them what life is about. Amen. By your actions and your choices. Serve God together. You know, I'm amazed at the Knickerbockers, you know, Dan and his brothers. I mean, his father, which would be Sam's grandfather. His father was David Knickerbocker, was a church planter in New York, planted several churches in different places across the nation. Had five boys. Five boys. Imagine that. Wrestling around, you know. Timothy, Andrew. I like the names, Bible names. Daniel, Peter, Thomas. You know, all five of them are serving the Lord. All five of them. Four of them in full-time ministry. Pastors, evangelists, whatever. They're serving God. You say, well, he probably, you're going into full-time. No. But what it was this. It was what their life was about.
Amen.
Their life growing up was about serving the Lord.
Amen.
The same with Sam when he was over on the mission field in France. He grew up in a missionary's home. What did they do for their life? They served the Lord. That's what it was. As kids, they were up there singing in the church services. They were going out with Dad and visiting and doing things like that. That was their life.
Amen.
And they were doing it together.
Amen.
No wonder. No wonder grew up to serve the Lord. See, if you don't do that, you're going to have one of those teenagers going to go to camp like those teenagers I told you at the beginning. So I want to be a millionaire. That's what I want to be. I don't even think that entered into in our kids' minds. Why? Because we were just serving God. That's what we were happy to be saved and happy to be in the bus ministry.
Praise the Lord.
Do it together. Be involved. You see, the part that is the most neglected in this stewardship is not the physical. It's not the mental. It's the spiritual. And until we fix that, I don't think we're going to see much change in the vanishing ministry. We'll see kids that will grow up in our church and in our school, but they're not getting it at home. Serving the Lord isn't a part of their life. They're just sitting there looking at their watch, waiting for that 18-year-old little birthday to come around so they can say, I'm out of here. I'm going to do my own thing. You don't think that's going to happen? Something went wrong. And I'm not talking about the will of the young person. Again, please understand. I understand that happens. And there's nothing. I'm talking about us, those that are parents. Are we doing the things that we're supposed to be doing to raise a servant of God? And we're done right here. Number three. Not only the proper view of parenting. It's a stewardship. Not only the part that is often neglected, the spiritual. And then number three, the purpose of parenting. What is the purpose of parenting? Well, you see, I think you already said that. Well, just listen to me for a second. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I think you know the story of Hannah. You know it. I mean, this isn't rocket science here tonight. It really isn't. It's really what it is. It's things we know we should be doing, and so often we don't. Look at verse 27. Look, notice this. For this child I prayed, talking about Samuel. That's the name he was given, and that's what his name means, actually. And the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, notice also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Now, stay with me here. Here's what I mean. I said parenting is a stewardship. I believe it is from the Bible. And the purpose of this stewardship, yes, is we're a stewardship of their physical well-being and development, their mental well-being and development, and their spiritual well-being and development. But what is it all for? Well, the purpose of parenting is to do what Hannah did with Samuel. To give them back to God.
Wow.
You see, parents have to recognize right from the start, that we are, that children are His, they're on loan to us. It's my duty to not just have fun with them, but to invest in them and build them up spiritually, physically, and mentally, train them to be a servant of the Lord, and then anticipate that day that He may choose one of our children to serve Him.
Amen.
For His glory. Because you were faithful raising him. So you did a good job. So God says, I'm going to take him now. And I'm going to use him for my glory.
Amen.
You don't think in Acts chapter 16, when Paul, on his second missionary journey there, went back to Lystra and saw Timothy there in verses 1 through 3, something like that, right around that area. And he said to Timothy, young man, would you pray about coming with me? And being my partner for this missionary trip. And he prayed. I'm using my sanctified imagination, but I would imagine that's what happened. But I do know this, he said yes. And here is this Timothy. He goes up to his mama. He says, Mom, I think God's calling me. I think what Paul said, God used him to stir my heart, and I want to be a part of God's work. I want to serve Amen. The Lord. I want to serve the Lord full time. Put yourself in Eunice's spot for a moment. All those years raising him. You don't think she didn't shed a tear that day? I think she did. I think she should have. You don't think she was a little apprehensive and perhaps even saying, Timothy, are you sure? As long as you're sure, I'm behind this, but are you sure? And he said, yes, I'm sure.
Amen.
You don't think that she wasn't a little bit sad to see him go in a little bit of a way?
Amen.
But she didn't stop him. She didn't say, Timothy, no, please, no, Timothy, we need you around here. We love you and you're serving God here. Can't you just stay here with me and your grandma here? No. She said, this is what I've done this all these years for.
Amen.
So that you could leave the nest and serve the Lord. I think she probably thought, although it wasn't penned yet, I have no greater joy to see that my children walk in truth.
Amen.
No greater joy. Miss them? Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I first left the house, you know, took her down to Bible college. The side of me that wanted to lock her in the car. Really? I did. There's a side of me that said, no, you're staying here. We're staying here. This is fine the way it is. I'm liking it. Really. A whole life changes. And you know that when your kids go, your life changes. It just does. But we have to remember, that's the whole purpose of children.
Amen.
Not to keep them under our control. Not that they do what we want them to do.
Amen.
But that they go off and serve God with their lives. You see, if we understand these things, we'll see servants of God.
Amen.
We'll raise servants of God. And perhaps these are some of the reasons why we're seeing the vanishing ministry. We don't have the proper view of parenting. We don't see it as a stewardship. We say they're ours, and I'm going to live my life through him, and I'm going to have him or her do this, and I'm going to train them to do that. We don't see it. No, we're supposed to be training servants of God.
Amen.
And we neglect the spiritual. And then we want to cling to them forever. Side of every parent that wants to do that. At least every parent that loves his child. But that's not God's design. Life goes on, does it not?
Amen.
And praise the Lord if they're walking in the truth. Amen. Let's pray together.